you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
Hiya everyone, this is the Sunday edition of the LA Report. I'm Julia Paskin, and on today's show, Robert Garova talks to Nick Roman about the dysfunctional work environment for medical staff at LA County jails. Then, Emily Elena Dugdale reports on the lack of funding for an LA County program that's actually helping people accused or convicted of felony crimes to get the mental health services they need. But first, here's a look around town today. 80 years ago this month, several thousand Angelenos of Japanese descent were forced to leave L.A. for World War II incarceration camps. An exhibition now open at the Japanese American National Museum in Little Tokyo uses technology to show what that was like. KPCC's Josie Huang has more.
One of the exhibits is in the museum courtyard. Using a specially made app, you pan your phone's camera around and you'll see a scene repeated throughout 1942. Hundreds lining up with bags and wearing tags with numbers given to each family headed for camps.
It's augmented reality. It's a kind of illusion, right?
That's UCLA professor Michael Emmerich. He directs the INAI Initiative for Globalizing Japanese Humanities, which funded the show.
It's almost like bearing witness to history in a different way.
Jun Auchi Burke was 9 when her family was forcibly moved to a camp in Arkansas. Her likeness was recorded for the exhibit. She channeled her mother wearing a fur-colored coat just like the one her mom had.
This is a story of the parents, the first generation immigrants that had to give up everything.
A story, Burke says, she now can share with her grandchildren and have them feel like they were there with her. I'm Josie Huang.
A beloved former roller skating rink in the San Fernando Valley is being transformed into a homeless shelter. When it opens later this month, the old Skateland rink in Northridge is going to have beds for 107 people. Staff will provide mental health treatment, job training, and help finding permanent housing. Architect Valerie Augustin says turning Skateland into a shelter is an example of adaptive reuse. That's the process of taking underused buildings and giving them a new purpose.
The great thing about adaptive reuse is that it's incredibly sustainable. We have all this building stock here that's underutilized, and now this building can have a second life to help transition people from the streets to permanent housing.
Convincing people to come inside could be a challenge. Less than half of unhoused Angelenos surveyed in a recent study were willing to accept a spot in a group shelter or bridge housing facilities. I've interviewed a few folks myself, and conditions at some shelters can be rough. It's understandable. Riverside County is investing in its wine country. County supervisors are working on $20 million in improvements for the area, including two big sewer projects. Once completed, officials say the updated sewers will allow a handful of stalled developments to resume construction. The county hopes to attract new hotels and restaurants to the Temecula Valley and expand tourism to the local wine country. Current and former medical staff at LA County jails describe a working environment that's dysfunctional, abusive, and detrimental to providing health care. One county physician describes it as a daily, quote, human rights disaster, and much of the criticism is leveled at Chief Medical Officer Dr. Sean Henderson. This week, criminal justice reporter Robert Garova talked about the KPCC investigation with All Things Considered host Nick Roman.
Earlier this year, KPCC told you about conditions inside the LA County jails, the largest local jail system in the country. On any given day, those jails hold about 12,000 people. About 40% of them are classified as having mental health care needs. Our reporting found that sheriff's deputies who serve as jail guards regularly ignored COVID-19 safety guidelines. Now, several medical workers assigned in the jails say health care there is severe. Severely lacking. Current and former jail medical staff describe a working environment that is dysfunctional, abusive, and detrimental to providing health care. KPCC Robert Garova has been working on this story. He joins us now. And Robert, tell us more about the medical workers' concerns about care at LA County jails.
Well, we spoke with 6 people currently or formerly providing care to incarcerated patients. One current employee describes an environment in which patients are regularly denied care because deputies or medical staff believe they're too dirty, might be lying about needing care, or too difficult to remove from their cell. And, you know, the healthcare worker had numerous disturbing and graphic stories to recall, including a recent incident in which a detainee was behaving oddly and was smearing feces on the wall. The healthcare worker said the individual had to wait in an unmonitored cell before he was transferred to an emergency room. He spent several weeks in the hospital.
Now, Robert, a lot of the criticism that you have heard from medical workers is leveled at management. What are they saying about their bosses?
Yeah, much of the concern I heard from medical workers was regarding the leadership of Correctional Health Services Chief Medical Officer Dr. Sean Henderson. After a female staff physician filed a complaint about Henderson's verbal abuse, the county said some of her complaints had been substantiated. The county's letter cited inappropriate conduct based on gender, though it's unclear whether Henderson was reprimanded. There's also a separate union grievance against Henderson that is pending, and at least two lawsuits involving him are still active. Last summer, a staff physician sent an anonymous letter to County Supervisor Hilda Solis, whose district includes the county jails. The letter said Henderson is well known for being abusive of his authority and power. We asked to interview Supervisor Solis, but her office declined the offer. And I should say here that we asked three times for an interview with Dr. Henderson so that he could respond, but those requests were declined on his behalf by the Department of Health Services. We also emailed Dr. Henderson directly, but he didn't respond.
Now, Robert, tell us more about the doctor whose claims were substantiated by LA County.
Yeah, Dr. Laura Dewan was hired to work in the urgent care facility at Twin Towers in 2019. Dewan called Henderson a very authoritarian leader and said he threatened to fire her on multiple occasions because she questioned some of his directives.
The verbal abuse and mistreatment of me because I was a female led to me also deciding that for my well-being, I needed to leave this environment.
That was Dewan's baby you heard in the background. And Dewan told me she's chosen to speak up about her experience because she feels a sense of responsibility for her colleagues and patients still inside the jails.
We're talking with KPCC's Robert Garova, who's been looking into complaints about substandard medical care inside the LA County jails. Problems with the county's jail system, Robert, are not new. Where do these complaints about poor medical care fit with the jail system's other problems?
Yeah, you know, LA County is promising significant changes to the carceral system. Last year, a report prepared by the county's Department of Diversion and Reentry estimated it would take up to 2 years to close Men's Central Jail. The report described the nearly 60-year-old facility as unsafe, crowded, and crumbling. The ACLU of Southern California's chief counsel, Peter Eliasberg, told me that it's important to decrease the jail population as soon as possible. Here's what he's told me.
I just don't see a world where they're going to provide adequate medical and mental health care in the jails as long as they have the jail population they have, as sick as it is, and particularly when 40% of the population has serious mental illness.
While Eliasberg certainly does not discount the current jail medical staffers who are ringing the alarm about, you know, conditions and management, he doesn't believe the jail system as it stands could really be fixed by anyone.
Well, that raises one final question, Robert. If you can't fix it, what do you do?
Well, for one, a RAND study from a couple years back found that an estimated 61% of the jail mental health population were likely appropriate candidates for diversion. So one county report recommended transferring thousands of people with mental health care needs out of the jail and into community-based care.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.
KPCC's Robert Garova. He's been looking into medical care inside the LA County jails, and you can read more of Robert's reporting at laist.com, laist.com.
And finally, the LA County Office of Diversion and Reentry, or ODR, houses thousands of people with mental health challenges who otherwise would be incarcerated. The program is widely heralded as a success, but an ODR program that helps those convicted of felonies or awaiting trial on felony charges is no longer accepting clients because it has maxed out its funding. The question now is, will the county consider putting up more money for it? Criminal justice reporter Emily Elena Dugdale sought to find some answers.
Counsel, appearances, please.
I'm sitting in Judge Carla Kerlin's courtroom in downtown L.A. Today, she's hearing cases involving clients enrolled in a program through the Office of Diversion and Reentry, or ODR. It targets people charged or convicted with a felony who struggle with a severe mental or physical health diagnosis and need housing. But they don't just get housing. They also have access to a team of medical professionals, a therapist, and a caseworker for life.
This is number 14 on the calendar.
The judge addresses a man sitting silently in front of her. He's handcuffed and wearing a blue jail uniform.
I originally put you in ODR. If you want a fresh start, this is it.
The man's time in the program hasn't been smooth sailing. He picked up another felony. It was brought down to a misdemeanor. But Judge Curlin is giving him another shot.
Stay in compliance and you could stay in the program.
ODR's medical director, Kristen Ochoa, is watching the proceedings.
One thing that is really important to us is to continue to give people many chances.
Ochoa said this man will be released soon. He'll get picked up by her staffers, who will take him home and connect him with the care he needs.
We need to make sure they've got all their appointments and all their medications.
ODR started this program in 2016. Since then, it's diverted over 3,700 people from jail. When I talked to Ochoa over Zoom before court, she said nearly 1,000 people have keys to permanent supportive housing.
When you see the transformation of folks once they have care and attention and medicine, it is absolutely remarkable. It is something so compelling that I think it can transform hearts and minds that this has to be the right answer.
Ochoa said another sign of the program's success is that it reunites families.
A lot of times it's hard for families to stay connected when someone is so sick, to see people reconnect with their friends and families and just live meaningful lives again. It's why we do this work.
The program has been very successful. One study found that nearly 90% of participants had no new felony convictions after a year, and almost three-fourths had stable housing. Ochoa said the program costs $150 a day per person versus $800 a day in the mental health section of the jail. So that's why public defender Garrett Miller was dismayed last year when the program had to stop taking new clients.
It's so effective, and that is why it is currently closed.
The county funded 2,200 beds, and those are all full. And there's no money to expand the program in the county's proposed budget for the next fiscal year. Meanwhile, Miller, who's on the board of the Public Defenders Union, says demand for the program is overflowing.
It is so well known that many clients will come in and they have heard success stories and they want that.
The alternatives aren't good. For most people, it's prison. Jasmine Jones got lucky. Through the program, she has her own apartment in Long Beach in a new four-story building with a great view.
I feel comfortable, I feel welcomed, and I feel loved.
Jones was previously chronically homeless, and her schizoaffective bipolar disorder was undiagnosed before she got caught up in the system.
I got labeled as something that people knew nothing about. They treated me like I was nothing on the streets.
But now?
If I ever need any help, I know who to come to. I just come right down the stairs. I don't have to jump in a car.
Right down the stairs are therapists and social workers who help Jones take her meds and track how she's doing.
I took a couple of steps up the ladder. I didn't look back. I blossomed into a flower, and I like it.
She said she's growing alongside her neighbors here. People, she says, are now family.
Hey, thanks for listening to this Sunday edition of the LA Report. Suzanne Watley and Nick Roman will be back tomorrow with the weekday morning and afternoon editions. Until then, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Take it easy. I'm Julia Paskin.
This program is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people. The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.